Happy Mother's Day to all the natural and spiritual moms in here in the house. We honor you today, and we just bless you in Jesus' name. It's your special day, and I've been praying, and I continue to pray that each one of you would feel blessed, loved, and honored today on this very special day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the title of my message today is called Made for More. Made for More. And you know, all through our lives, and we've shared with you as time has gone by some of our story, but each juncture that we found ourselves in, we found the Lord saying, there's not just this for you, there is more. And usually that would coincide with him doing more in us first, so that then he could do more through us. And I remember Pastor has shared when he was working at the power company, right when we were first married, and then one terrible, dreadful day came where they told him that that summer job had ended, and the Lord whispered, there's more for you. And we knew that he had something more in store, and right away, the stretching began, the capacity to carry more so that we could be more, so that he could work through us more. And then he took us to a place in Kentucky where we were ministers of youth and music, and he allowed us to have a great time there for 2 years, and then all of a sudden, that same whisper, there's more. And pretty soon we found ourselves on the mission field in Brazil, intending just to go as ministers of music. And because that was comfortable, we were both music majors in college. And then through a series of circumstances, the Lord said, no, there's more. And he began to call us into the pastorate. And that led to 4 very wonderful years in Brazil. And then we came back to the States. And then the call came from Jacksonville, North Carolina. And they called my husband and said, yeah. But let me say, it was with great trepidation that he received that call. And he was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And the Lord is whispering, once again, there's more. And we began to sense the stretching of the Holy Spirit and many ways that he was moving in us so that we could experience more of the abundant life and that he could do more abundantly through us what he had always intended to. So at every transition, and now I say we're at a different one. We've already begun to experience the stretchings of what's going to be up the road. God is already beginning to say there's more. There's more. This has been great, but don't camp out here. There's more for you. I'm going to increase your capacity for more. And so I'm going to talk very briefly. I'm going to use, because it's Mother's Day, I'm going to use examples of women in the scriptures. But men, you're not off the hook because the principles still hold true for you too. So don't take a nap. I'm going to talk about the women's examples, but they're very, very specific areas which I believe the Lord is speaking to all of us. There's more for you. There's more for you. Don't camp out here. There's more. And the very first area that I'm going to talk about, there's more for us in our prayer lives. More for us in our prayer lives. Speak up. We've got to speak up and call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord says, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. How many of you have seen great and mighty things that you didn't know before because you called upon God? It's a very scriptural, very interesting promise that he gives us. We have to ask the Lord for more. Call upon him. The first example that I'm going to talk about is Caleb's daughter. And her story is told twice in the scriptures, both in Joshua and Judges. But I'm going to read from Judges chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now it happened when she came to him, this was the daughter that came to her father Caleb, that she urged him, she urged her husband, if you read the entire chapter, you'll see that, to ask her father for a field. And she dismounted from her donkey and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? So she said to him, give me a blessing since you have given me land in the south. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Now I'm going to talk about this as how it mirrors our life, our prayer life with the Father. Caleb's daughter, and her name was Aksa, was asking boldly of her father Caleb for springs of water. She didn't shrink back in false humility. She came to him, and I'm going to show you four different ways that she came to him, and I believe this mirrors the way that we're to grow in our prayer life, that we're to expect more from our prayer life, that we're to be more as we pray and as we just bring our lives before the Father. Achsa was humble and honoring. The Bible says she alighted from her donkey. That was very symbolic of honor. All through the scriptures, you see when people get off of their donkeys, that meant, I'm honoring you. When Rebecca met her husband Isaac for the first time, the Bible says she got off of her donkey and she covered her head as a sign of honor to him. So Achsa came humbly. You know, when we come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we come humbly, knowing who he is and knowing who we are. We are daughters and sons of the Most High, but he's the Most High King. He's the one that rules over all the earth. He's the one that holds the power of the whole world in his hand. Have you ever sung that song, he's got the whole world in his hand? That's the grandeur and the majesty of the God we serve. So we don't come to him like he's one of our peers. We don't come to him like he's just a friend. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but he's also the Most High God. So we come to him in a humble, in an honoring way. And you know, I'm struck by how our society has lost, in many cases, the ability to honor. I believe God is restoring the principle of honor to the church. Honoring leadership, honoring Most High God, first of all. Honoring our spouses, our husbands and our wives. Honoring our friends. The principle of honor is key as we come to the Lord in prayer, and the most important one. And the next thing, she was specific and bold. Now, you know, Caleb asked her a question. See, he knew his daughter. He saw the look on her face. When she got off her donkey, he didn't say, what are you here for? He said, what do you wish? He knew she was coming to ask him for something. Why? Because he knew his daughter. And she was very bold. She was very specific. Many times we are guilty of praying vague, fearful prayers. How many of you have done that? I've done that. You know, we'll say something and then we'll kind of backtrack and say, but you know, God, if it's your will, I don't know if it is. And I don't know if I can dare. I'm just a humble worm. I you know, and that's not being humble. God wants us to be very specific, very bold in our prayers. If we're not asking for something beyond our own capacity, we're not asking a faith-filled prayer. If it's something we could do in our own power, under our own steam, then we wouldn't need faith. But the Bible wants us to come to him. The Bible tells us to come to him filled with faith, believing that he's hearing you, believing that he wants to give you even more than what you're asking for. Bold, bold prayers, specific prayers. You see, I believe that the Lord is asking us the same question this morning that Caleb asked Achsa. What is it that you wish? And if he were standing here, which he is here by his Spirit, but if you could see him with your natural eyes and he stood right in front of you and said, what would you wish for me today? Could you speak up specifically like Caleb's daughter did? I encourage you to search your heart and ask the Holy Spirit what you should begin to pray for boldly from your Father, because he's a good and loving Father and he wants to bless you. Achsa asked her husband to go to her father on her behalf. And the Bible doesn't say why he wouldn't. You know, how many of you wives have ever asked your husband, go see if we can get this or get that? I've done that many times. For some reason, Achsa's husband was not willing, and so she went herself. The principle, we always need to ask others to join in prayer with us. Two are better than one. It's very, very important to have people agreeing with you in prayer. The body of Christ, especially when you're going through trouble and difficult places, we stand together and there is strength in numbers, and we walk together and we grieve with those who grieve and we rejoice with those who rejoice. But if no one will go with you, you have to be willing to go alone. Achsa was not able to convince her husband to go with her, so she went by herself. And she prayed boldly and asked her father boldly for what she needed. And then finally, she was grateful and she acknowledged what was already given. She said, you've already given me land. I know you've already given me this, but now I'm going to ask for more. I'm going to ask for springs of water. And all through the scriptures, you see springs of water as symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So if you look at it that way, What we can ask is, Lord, don't let me be a dry and thirsty land. Don't let my life be dry without the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Father, give me springs of water that I might flow in the Holy Ghost for you. Give me springs of water so that my land might be watered and flourish and fruitful. Lord, give me springs of water that I might have the Holy Spirit's power and not just walk in the natural. I'll tell you, women and men of God, sons and daughters of the Most High, the most important thing that we can learn is how to walk with the Holy Spirit's power. Not us, but Him. How to flow in His power. How to listen to His voice. How to see Him move. How to join with what He's doing. If we are just living on the natural realm, we are missing so much. The abundant life is the Holy Spirit-led life, the Holy Spirit-filled life. And you know, next week is the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out. It's a very special time. And as we approach that day, that feast in the Old Testament, let us be calling upon God to pour out His Spirit on a dry and thirsty land. You see, the land was arid. The land was dry. She knew for it to produce and to flourish, she needed springs of water. How much more do we need the water of the Holy Spirit coming up out of our belly that we might speak words of life empowered by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name? Now you say, some of us might look at Ox and say, well, man, she was kind of bold. She was a bit pushy, wasn't she? She'd already had one gift. You know, was she a Jezebel? Was she controlling? No, you have to remember who her father was. You see, Oxa was a chip off the old block. Her father was Caleb. Caleb was the one that came back with a good report that had gone into the land, and 10 spies said, oh, there's giants in the land. And Caleb said, no, there are giants in the land, but we are well able to take it. And because of that, he was able to enter the promised land. He was a warrior. Oxa was probably raised on testimonies of how her father stood for what was right. Caleb and Joshua stood for victory and power in the Holy Ghost. And so then the Israelites came into the promised land, and Caleb watched everyone else receive their inheritance. He had been promised land also. But I tell you what, all of a sudden 45 years had come and gone, and now he's 85 years old, and the scripture says he's still living in faith. He was still in confidence that the promise would be fulfilled. Let me encourage you, if you're past 30 or past 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, Caleb was 85, and the Lord still had promises to fulfill in his life. It's not whether you are young or old, it's whether you are depending on the Lord's promises. And let me encourage those of us that are past a certain age. God has more for us. Don't make the excuse that I'm too old or my time is gone. No, I'll tell you what, your time is just beginning. Our time is starting in Jesus' name. And so Caleb, the Bible says that Caleb went to Joshua and he said, the Lord's kept me alive for 45 years and here I am at 85, still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. That's a promise to claim too, as a side note, that our strength might be the same as he renews our youth. And he says, I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but with the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Just as he said. You see, Oxa had the example of her father Caleb, the warrior, who refused to settle, who refused not to inherit the promise, who had the boldness and the victory spirit to go to Moses, even at 85, and said, I have not received my promise yet, but I know that it's still working in my life, and now give me that land which the Lord promised to me. And the Bible, we know that he did go in and he took the land. Let me just give you another side point. If the Lord has certain things for you to do and you've not done them yet, he's well able to keep you alive for such a time as this. You know, we wage warfare with the prophetic words that were spoken over our life. Many of you have words that the Lord has spoken, that you would do this and you would do that. And let me just say this. When sickness comes, when trials come, you wage a good warfare with that prophetic word. Because if God's still got things for you to do, then he is well able to keep you alive, healthy, and vigorous until the day you apprehend every promise that he has given. I'm waging warfare with words that were spoken over me when I was 12 years old. And I have the sense that some of them I am just now getting ready to come into. Don't be discouraged. If you look at your age in numbers, it's just a number. God's got more for you, no matter what your age. You know, I just wanted to share, next week, like I said, is the week of Pentecost, day of Pentecost. I actually received the baptism of the Holy Spirit during this particular week, day of Pentecost, when I was 12 years old. We were missionaries in a small town in Brazil named Piris do Rio. And I saw the Lord work supernaturally in ways that I realize now. I thought it was normal for everyone to live that way. I realize now that I was very honored and privileged to see a great move of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? It's made me hungry for more. And I'm believing for more. In those years, we had a young girl named Maria. In Brazil, especially at that time, everyone had people that would come and help them with housework. It was not like our housework today. It was like every day was a spring cleaning plus. And Maria was one that came and served in our house. And she was a little bit older than I was. And Maria and I had both received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I can remember saying to her, just about every day, I said, I'll help you with your work. Let's get it done so we can go to the church and pray. Now, what 12-year-old does that? She was 16, I was 12. I said, let's go to the church and pray. And we saw so many miracles, so much coming, because we were willing to put everything underneath the call to prayer. And we would go and we would call out to the Lord. I've not seen Maria since I was 20. But next week, I'm going to see her again. And it's the same week as I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, tell me the Lord doesn't put things together. You can't tell me that. I couldn't have in a million years have scheduled that. But I'm believing, and I'm going back to Piris do Rio since the first time when we first went to Brazil to scout out the land. And it's going to be, I know God's got purposes and plans for me. So if you think of me next week, please pray. Let every good purpose of the Lord be fulfilled. But God has more for us in our prayer life. He also has more, and this is the second point, for us in our character. He wants to give each one of us the courage to speak up for what is right. You know, we saw a movie here on Friday night with the women, and it was about a young boy that was bullied. And it just kind of goes through and chronicles how one particular friend began to develop the courage to speak up for what is right, to stand for justice, to have compassion, and to reach out and be bold enough to stand for the truth. God wants us to be able to speak out. Many times it will require so much boldness and so much out of our character. There's an example in the scriptures, and we don't often hear of this. And as I looked back at it, I thought, man, this is a very strange example for Mother's Day. But bear me out. And this is the example of Jephthah's daughter in Judges 11. And the story was, Jephthah was a great warrior. And he had made a very rash, impulsive vow to the Lord. He said, I'm going to go out and fight the enemy. And then when I come back, if you give me the victory, whoever meets me first, I'm going to offer for a sacrifice. And the Bible tells us that his only daughter was the one that met him. And so, you know, you think, man, that's a very somber, morose scripture for Mother's Day. And let me just make it clear, the Lord was not the one that told Jephthah to make that vow. The Lord does not require that. The Bible is very clear against human sacrifice of all types. But what I want to highlight and what I want to point out today is the response of Jephthah's daughter. And she says, my father, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised. Now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the Ammonites. She was willing, even though it didn't mean anything good for her personally, to encourage her father to fulfill his vow. It shows just how seriously God takes vows that we make to him. Many times we are very rash with our promises. We don't consider it something that we have to even remember. But the Lord takes our vows to him very seriously. And she stood for what was right, even though it meant that her life would not go like she wanted it to. She said, let me go for 2 months up into the hills and mourn the fact that I'll never get married. And she, but she, even though she knew that, she stood strong and said, my father, do what's right. Do what's right. God is looking for women that will be bold and strong and courageous enough to encourage our family members and those around us to do what is right, even if it means that it doesn't work out that great for us. I can remember when we were raising money to move into this building. Now, we didn't have a whole lot of money. We had a little tiny bit that we had set aside. We'd managed to scrape together in our savings. And I remember my husband came to me one day and said, you know, I'm feeling like the Lord wants us to sow that into the building fund, all of our savings. And I won't tell you that I didn't have a prickle of fear, because I did. And I remember thinking, oh, that's our cushion. That means that if something were to come up, we wouldn't have anything to fall back on. And I remembered this principle, stand for what is right and encourage your husband to do what he believes the Lord has called him to do. And as I prayed about it, I began to see that indeed the Lord had said that. And I want to tell you, to the glory of God, that the Lord has replenished our savings many times over from everything we sowed. I, you know, and I'm believing for the hundredfold. It's not a hundredfold yet, but it's at multiples of what we gave. And the Lord is faithful. And as we women stand for what is right, stand for the truth, stand for justice, stand for what Jesus is saying, we will only be blessed in the end. In Jesus' name. I watched my mom all through our lives stand with my father, at many times great cost and great sacrifice to her. And I want to honor her today, because without who she was, I wouldn't be able to even be here. She's in heaven, I believe, cheering me on from the grandstands of heaven. And I just bless and honor her today. I think of the Proverbs 31 woman, where her children rise up and call her blessed. And I rise up today and give honor to my great mother, who was always standing for the Lord first, even at great personal cost and sacrifice. We grow and we're made for more in our compassion for others. There's a beautiful story in 2 Kings 5, and I'm going to read a few verses of it. And it says, beginning with verse 2, now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out to take captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. You see, Naaman was a great man. He was in charge of the army of the king. But there was one problem, and that was that he had leprosy. And so this little maid goes to her mistress and said, if only he would go to the prophet who would heal him of leprosy. Naaman went to his master, the king, and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, the king of Aram replied, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. I love this story. When you look at the background, she had been taken captive. In other words, she had been kidnapped from her own father and mother. She had been taken into a land that she didn't know what or anyone there. And yet she was able to get outside of her own problems, outside of her own circumstance, outside of self-pity. And first of all, the Bible says she served Naaman's wife. She tended to Naaman's wife's every need. But she was able to look beyond her own need, her own circumstance, and she saw the need in Naaman's life, and she called it out. And she said, oh, if only you would go to the prophet who would heal you of leprosy. And it just boggles my mind, because here she was, a young girl, taken from her parents, taken from her homeland in extremely difficult circumstances. She was a servant. She was not a slave back home, but all of a sudden, she found herself in very extremely difficult, humbling circumstances. Yet she still had the grace and the compassion within her to look beyond her own situation, her own need, her own struggle, her own problems, and say, I'm calling out what you need. I'm having compassion on you. your life. And God wants us to see the need of those around us and not just what we are going through ourselves. She saw the need, she called out the need, and she pointed him to the Lord through his servant Elisha. And the Lord gave her extraordinary influence. Because you next thing you know, when Naaman went to the king, that king said, yeah, go, and I'm going to write a letter to the other king. And so the little girl who'd been kidnapped suddenly found herself moving the hand of not one king, but two kings. So much was her influence as she spoke. Her words literally moved the hands of kings. Her obedience and her willingness to speak paved the way for a miracle. Amen. Her willingness. How can we be silent at a time when our words will pave the way for miracles? I want to encourage you, both sons and daughters, many times you're going to be in situations where you're going to see a need. And may you be the one that will speak forth life, that will speak forth truth, that will speak forth direction, that will speak forth the way, that will pave the way for a miracle. May the Lord raise up an army of people that aren't afraid to speak into the lives of others and point them to Jesus. And finally, we're made for more in our worship. The Lord is calling us to cast off all restraints. Mary of Bethany is one of my heroines of the Bible. She's the one that chose to sit at Jesus' feet, the one of whom Jesus said, Mary's chosen the better part, and it won't be taken from her. Mary chose to put the Lord first. And this beautiful scripture was Mary of Bethany, and we see it in Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13 from the Passion Translation. Then Jesus went to Bethany, to the home of Simon, a man Jesus had healed of leprosy. A woman came into the house holding an alabaster flask filled with fragrant and expensive oil. She walked right up to Jesus, and in a lavish gesture of devotion, she poured out the costly oil. It cascaded over his head as he was at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were offended. What a total waste, they grumbled. We could have sold it for a great deal of money and given it to the poor. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, why are you critical of this woman? She's done a beautiful act of kindness for me. You'll always have someone poor whom you can help, but you will not always have me. When she poured the fragrant oil over me, she was preparing my body for burial. I promise you that as this wonderful gospel spreads all over the world, the story of her lavish devotion to me will also be mentioned in memory of her. I love that phrase, lavish devotion. May we have lavish devotion, lavish worship. May we cast off all restraints. The thing that I see about Mary's worship is that, first of all, it was sacrifice. The Bible tells us that that oil was expensive. In some translations, it said it could be up to as much as a year's worth of wages. So she poured out something that was costly to her, something dear to her. And it wasn't, her worship was not just in words or in song. It was with her resources. Many times the Lord will call us to worship him with what is dear to us, what we hold dear, what we are afraid to give, our resources, and the correct response is to give it to him, withholding nothing. She showed great boldness. She showed the courage to worship in front of everyone. She walked right in, and I'll tell you what, I think she had an inkling that what she did was probably going to create a stir. She knew that what she did wasn't going to be well received by everyone. The Lord's calling us not to have a fear of man. Many times you see the enemy hates worship so much that anyone that worships lavishly, there's going to be an outright reaction against it. It stirs up religious spirits that cannot stand for Jesus to be truly glorified. When we were in Brazil, the times that demons would manifest was the times when we were worshiping, and in particularly talking about the blood of Jesus. As people began to draw into the Holy of Holies and give their worship to God, demons would scream and shriek. You say, well, that sounds like Bible times. Yeah, that's what I grew up in, seeing the demons cry out. And I'll tell you what, they can't stand unrestrained, wholehearted devotion and worship of God. And still today, our worship will create a stir. And if there's a religious attitude, it's going to wake up and it will begin to criticize. And it will begin to say, oh, that's too much. Oh, that's not right. That's not dignified. May we worship unrestrained. unrestrained, lavish devotion. She held nothing back. Let me read you three quick verses from Proverbs and Psalms that talks about lavish worship. The first one is Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. And I love this. It says, confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in awe of him. And their devotion provides their children with a place of shelter and security. Mothers, your devotion to God provides a place of shelter and security for your children. Your devotion to God is going to be one of the most key influences in your children's life, and it provides a place of shelter. To worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within you. Isn't that great? To worship him in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within you, empowering you to escape death's domain. Another translation says it empowers you to turn from deadly snares. When I read this translation, I thought of something that happened to us years ago. It was during hurricane season, and one of the hurricanes was coming. And so I don't know why I decided to do this, but I coerced my kids and husband out into the garage and said, let's clean out the garage. I don't know why. We began to rearrange things and pull things out from the walls. And lo and behold, probably because of the storm, there was a copperhead in our garage. I did a whole message once called There's a Snake in Your Garage. We're not going to talk so much about the snake today, but I remember being so fascinated, like, oh my goodness, all this time this big long snake was in our garage and we didn't even have any knowledge of it. And I just assumed it was dead. And so I did a very foolish thing and I leaned down just like that to look. Right at that exact second, our son Evan came out of the door, saw what I was doing, and pushed me aside just as the snake raised its head to lash out. That action of him pushing me aside, turning away from that snare, is what lavish devotion will do in your heart. You will be turned from every snare, every device of the enemy, every attempt of the enemy to sting you, to bite you, to attack you. Your lavish devotion will turn you away from every snare and provide a place of security and a place of shelter for your children. For those reasons alone, you ought to worship him. But I'll tell you what, we worship him because he is so worthy. He is worthy of everything and more that we can offer him. Psalms 34:9, worship in awe and wonder, all you who have been made holy, for all who fear him will feast with plenty. And finally, Proverbs 19:23, when you live a life of abandoned love, surrendered before the awe of God, here's what you'll experience: abundant life, continual protection, and complete satisfaction. You could preach a message just on that verse alone. As we live an abandoned life of worship, here's what we can expect to be experiencing. May we be worshiping women who stand in awe and wonder of him, holding nothing back, not in our devotion or our resources, free from the fear of man and of their criticisms. I want to be a worshiper that holds nothing back. When I stand before Jesus, I want to be able to know that I have not been miserly, or I have not just doled out my worship, but I have poured it out like Mary did. And I'm learning, I'll tell you what, to be more unrestrained. I'm a very, in the natural, very quiet, very restrained person, but I'll tell you what, devotion to God is not restrained. Devotion and worship to God is not kept in a little box, is not controlled. It spills out. It pours out. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it doesn't look like what you expect it to look like, but unrestrained devotion to God is the key to so much in our lives. May we be unrestrained worshipers. When our youngest two children were 3 and 4, they were typical toddlers. Ariana's here today. And I remember one day when the Lord was teaching me about worship and taking me into the place, the Holy of Holies, in a new and incredibly different dimension. Now, they were a typical 3 and 4 year old. They were more like twins. They could find more trouble to get into together than they ever could by themselves. I remember one time we had a family over for dinner, and I realized it had been entirely too quiet from these two. And I went into the room, and I saw that they had both chosen that opportunity to give themselves haircuts. And Ariana had long curly hair. You couldn't tell much about hers, but Evan had cut like a zipper pattern all the way back into his part line. And I remember saying to him, "Evan, you cut your hair." And he was like, "Yes." And I held him up to the mirror, and he screamed, and tears began to roll down his face. And so this was the type of toddlers. They were not particularly quiet ever in their entire life. But I'll tell you what, one day I was sitting at the piano, and the worship switched into another dimension, a dimension of awe and wonder. And I could hear them coming in from outside, and I could hear them arguing as they came, and their little feet were pounding, and I didn't turn my head. I just continued to worship. And then all of a sudden, I heard nothing anymore. And I turned around, and both of them were standing, eyes wide open, in awe because of the presence of God. Even children will recognize the presence of God. I tell you what, I saw a sign and a wonder that day, because that was probably the first time that they had ever both voluntarily been silent for that long. But I tell you what, that's what the awe and wonder and devotion to God will produce in our lives and in the lives of our children. And finally, I want to read from Acts 2. I've mentioned several times that next week is Pentecost Sunday. Acts 2, 17 and 18 says, "This is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody, everybody, and cause your sons and your daughters to prophesy. And your young men will see visions, and your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." When God pours out his spirit, both men and women will prophesy. Both men and women will stand together to declare the goodness of God. Not just one, not just another, but they will both work together as a team. Two are better than one. They will stand and declare the glories of God. Men will prophesy. Women will prophesy. Young will see visions and dream. Old will dream dreams. Nobody is excluded from the move of God. And I want to say, daughters of the Most High, stand and prophesy. Stand and declare the goodness of God. Stand and declare the truth of his word. Don't be afraid. Don't have fear of man. Pour out your worship. Pour out your devotion. Stand for what is true. Stand for justice. Call for more in your prayer life. And as we do, we're going to see a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, God bless you. Pastor Chris.
So as we've been here in the presence of God, as the word of God has been preached, here's what I feel like the Lord has been saying. And it's a word that is very familiar to us, and it's the word revival. But a revival is not a 3-day special guest preaching service where we try to get people saved. Revival is different than that. And the reason that revival is so important to us is just simply because life has a deadening effect on every single person when it comes to their spiritual life, just normal life. The amount of time that you spend on social media has a deadening effect. The amount of time that we spend working and interacting with just normal life has a deadening effect, a numbing effect. So our spiritual life can become something that is not real anymore. It's not what we've been talking about this morning. Worship is not there. Prayer is not there. We're not really alive when it comes to God himself. And we're deadened by the things that we're dealing with and the things that we're pressured by. And I feel like God wants us to release our faith, each one of us individually, to begin to receive even during the course of this week leading up to the day of Pentecost, a touch from the Holy Ghost that will revive our spiritual life, that will bring revival to us in a way that is real, that will not be just a passing thing, but God will begin to do a permanent work of shifting us into another level. We'll have more, as Pastor Miriam was saying, than we've ever had before. More of a sense of God's presence, more of a sense of God's power, more of God's kind of life flowing in us on a daily basis, impacting our families, impacting our health, impacting our emotions. Oftentimes, the things that we're asking God for are not really the answer to our problem. And if God were to pour out the things that we're asking him for, when we want this and we want that and we need this and we need that, more than we need the kind of health perhaps that we would like to have, we need revival. I need to be revived in my inner man. I need to be on fire for God in my inner man. I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost in my inner man. That is the key to life. That is the source of life. So regardless of what you might be dealing with today, I know that God wants us to release our faith, to be able to receive from him something that will touch us and make us alive unto God in a way that we are not as we sit here today. And it doesn't have anything to do with being backslidden, doesn't have anything to do with being a person that is living in gross sin or has denied any of the truths of the Bible. It's more subtle than that. That would be real easy if it was black and white, but it's not. It is very subtle, and before we know it, things are very low in our lives in terms of the operation of the Holy Spirit and the power of God moving through our lives. And we realize that we're hard-hearted, we're cold-hearted, we're not gross sinners, we haven't denied the faith, but there's something missing. And what is missing is not money, and what is missing is not this or that or the other. What's missing is that revival spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quickening our hearts, quickening our minds by his supernatural power. So as we close today, I just want to give each person an opportunity to be able to use their faith today. I don't want you to think about it. I don't even want you to try to figure it out at all, because I don't know how God does this stuff. But I just know that when we cry out to God and we stand before the Lord humbly and just say, God, I need a touch from heaven. Lord, I need the Spirit of God to touch me in the inner man. I want revival in my own soul. I want a revival of faith. I want a revival of joy. I want a revival of zeal. I want a revival of the fire of God. I want a revival of prayer. I want you to revive me. Lord, I want you to raise me up. I feel like I've been deadened. I feel like I've been numbed. I feel like the world has worn me down. Lord, I want you to set my heart on fire, and I present myself to you today as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, Lord, here I am. Now you come and bring the fire and set this offering on fire. Set this sacrifice on fire and watch and see what God will do in our lives. And I'm just telling you that you don't have to feel anything. You don't have to know anything. You just know that God wants to have his messengers, flames of fire, that God promises to pour out his spirit on all flesh. That's all I need to know. That's all I care about. I can't figure out myself. I can't figure out how God's going to overcome these things, but God will overrule every circumstance in life, and God will respond to a prayer like that. So if you feel like there's a dryness, if you feel like there's a coldness, if you feel like there's a deadness in your spirit, why don't you stand right now and let's get before the presence of God and let's see what God will do, amen, in the coming days. Let's just trust him. Let's just trust him to make a change. There's nothing so hard that he cannot melt it. There is no person that is so cold that he cannot set you on fire, amen? Regardless of where you've been or what you've done, God wants to move through a people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? Filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Some of us are just thinking about so many other people. We got so many people problems. We got so many stupid issues with this and that and the other. Let's set those aside right now. When you're moving in revival, that stuff gets real small and God gets real big. Let's make God big in our lives, and let's make all of these petty issues small, because they are small. Amen? And the times are too big, and the challenges are too big, and you've got too big a calling on your life to be small in any area. Amen? God's got too much for us to do to not have a tank full of the Holy Ghost,
to not be on fire for God. The challenges are too great. The opportunities are wide open. And God is looking for a people that will just trust him enough and believe him for what only he can do. And I see many of you standing. Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. And I'm just going to pray and release what I believe God has put in my heart. I've been doing that here for the last few minutes, but we're just going to proclaim it now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim fire over your people. I proclaim the spirit of revival, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Not a revival of religious spirits or religious attitudes, but Lord, a true Holy Ghost revival, setting cold hearts on fire. Lord, touch us. Fill us. Lord, cause our hearts to burn. Amen. Lord, let us tremble at the sound of your word. Lord, drive out every spirit of complacency. Drive out every spirit that would settle for less and stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, we present ourselves to you. Come and fill us. Fill us. Set our hearts on fire. Lord, sanctify us. Make us holy and acceptable unto God. Fill us with the zeal of the Lord. Set us aflame, oh God, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch the inner man. Go deep into our hearts. Lord, do a mighty work. Do a supernatural work. Do miracles and signs and wonders in every heart, in every life. Touch every mind. Fill every vessel. Fill us to overflowing. Touch us, oh God, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Lord, we magnify your name. Jesus, we worship you and glorify your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just put your hand on your heart. Just lay hands on your own self. I can't lay hands on you, but you can lay hands on yourself. Just say this with me. Heavenly Father, set this heart on fire. Holy Spirit, fill this heart with life, with zeal. Set me aflame. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name.